after today, no matter how genuine the pastor looks, tell him that you have learned that if really your life was pleasing to God, no enemy will have power over you. That any witch that can afflict you doesn't have any problem. It's you that has a problem with God. I was speaking on radio once. People say, Pastor, there are witches. There some mothers-in-law are witches. So they answered, so why do they have power over people? Is it that their God is dead? That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying there are no witches out there. I know there are. I'm just saying, why should they have power over you? Is your God sick? Is your God sick? Or his power in your life is weakened? For those who do not know, let me teach you how HIV/AIDS kills people. It is known it doesn't directly cause any sickness in itself. For those who don't know, you know what it does? It just removes people's defenses. That's all. What now kills are the other things added. So, if somebody keeps having funny sicknesses, and that's how a doctor is, he comes today, he has a particular illness. Say, this is unusual. A quack will give you a treatment for that illness. An untrained person, some people just open lab, say they do tests. They now prescribe medicine for you. For some, but you go to a well-trained doctor. He say, wait, you came with this sickness. At the same time, you have this one. Something is wrong. Please, can I have a bit of blood? I want to screen you for lack of immunity. I still remember a man came to me once. I was, long ago, after church. He showed me that I had something in his eye, a small ball in the eye. Three fingers had ball at the same time. In fact, like three on the left hand, two on the right hand. He wanted a prescription for treatment of boils all over the place. But because of my training, I said, no, something is wrong. So I said, please, sir, I will need you to go and do a blood sugar test for me. Why? I said, I suspect something else is weakening your immunity, making you have many boils all over the place. And what's in my mind right now is diabetes. He said, okay, actually, he was diagnosed with diabetes 5 years ago. He thought it has gone. Because he took treatment for like a week or two. Now, if you see, are you getting my point? I did not say, hey, where is this bacteria that's giving you infection? Let's treat it. No, I said, something is weakening you. And that's what we understand. We're not saying there are no witches out there. We're saying a strong Christian cannot be afflicted by them. I hope you are getting my point. And when I say strong, I don't mean preach out. I don't mean the fire brand. I just mean you are born again, you are in Christ Jesus. That's all I mean. Once you're a believer in Christ, you don't mean that you have believed that, oh, you don't sleep at night. You are praying. And all that's not what I mean. Many people praying at night are worried. That's their problem. The ones who have faith are asleep. You don't know that? Many prayer warriors are confused people. Many, I didn't say all, because Christians must know how to pray. But they must pray genuinely. But many people say, wake up at 2 a.m. and all the spirits around, you will make them confuse them. I say at 2 a.m., you're not serious. I'm going to sleep. Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. How rubbish is that? If I wake up at night to pray, it's between me and my father. Everybody has slept. Children are asleep. Even dog is asleep. Everywhere is quiet. My wife is asleep. And I wake up. And I take my Bible and start reading. And start praying and meditating. So when I'm talking about strong prayer, I don't mean somebody wakes up at night to pray. I mean somebody whose life is really hid with Christ in God. Who takes his or her faith serious. Let's read this so I can conclude that section. Numbers 23. I just need to say this, and then I've not really gotten to the main thing I want to explain, but let's just lay this foundation. It's always important. Because of time, I will not go into details about this, but we all know the story. I just want us to get a summary of this. Balaam was a very powerful, what do you call him? Juju man, jazz man, prophet, whatever it is. Very powerful. Balaam was very powerful. He was so powerful, his incantations were used to win wars. But please, can you quickly open to verse, when he saw Israel, look at what he said in verse 23. Let me read that to you from the New Living Translation. Balaam said, no curse can touch Jacob, No magic has any power against Israel. Everybody say after me, no curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel.
No magic has any power against Israel.
I want you to understand that. That's it. That's what we preach. That we believers in Christ Jesus, we are above all these machinations. Now, why are we talking about God of truth and wonders? I started by saying that God's primary assignment in your life is not to work wonders, even though he can work it. What he wants to do is to establish you in the truth. Did you notice what we read from that Isaiah chapter 2? It said people will come and say, let us what? Let us go to the house of the to the mountain of the Lord and let us do what? That we may learn his ways. Let me quote it properly so that just go back there quickly, please. Isaiah chapter 2. We read it just now. Look at what he said. Verse 3. And many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. Because the law will go forth from Zion. Now, please bear that in mind. So that the reason why we are going is because we want to learn his ways. We want to walk in his paths. We want to learn his ways, and we want to do what? Walk in his paths. Please, I want to. My message today basically is to let us understand personal responsibility. When I say personal responsibility, this is what I mean. Listen to this. The reason why Nigeria is bad is not Buhari. Was he better before him? He said, was Jonathan? No, it was not Jonathan. Was he better before Jonathan? You can see clearly. The reason why one country. Look, the people who call our leaders, they country like ours today. Are just people that God has kept there so we can blame them, I think. Because human beings, we must find somebody to blame. I should make a point to you, please. Listen to this. That first thing I said earlier took a lot of my time. But let me get into my message. It's now I'm starting my message. Now, like I said, what I want to emphasize to us today is that personal responsibility thing. One major thing we have in life, let's read this. It's important we read it. The book of Job. Everybody open to this. Job chapter 35. We're going to read Job 35. Then 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Job 35. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We're reading both of them. Let's start with that Job 35. I just want to bring out something here to see how we human beings react to things. Verse 9. It said, because of the multitude of oppressors, they cry out. They cry for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? Who makes us wiser than the beasts of the earth? Who teaches us, more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens? There they cry out, but he, that is God, does not listen, does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard it. Let me just stop there. I've just read about five verses, from 9 to 13. You see, Eli was describing here that these are people who cry out. They cry out because of the arm of the mighty. They cry out because of powerful politicians. They cry out because of state governors. They cry out because of armed men invading their farms. Are you following what I'm saying here? They cry out because the head of state has done nothing. They cry out because the PDP is too powerful or APC is too powerful. Now, this is the sad side. You know, yesterday, I was watching one of our big preachers. Somebody sent a video of him to my class, old classmates chat group, which, I mean, of course, it's an alumni. School, university alumni. So, of course, some people took time out to insult the preacher for giving information that's not true. It's a big preacher, a name if I mention every single person here we know. I'm sure the church has branches in town here. And when initially I didn't, most of the videos people forward, I don't bother opening a download. So when I started seeing the comments my classmates were passing, I opened the video. And I saw the man lament what happened in Southern Kaduna recently. In Kaduna, I don't know which part now. And you know, the killings, the curfew, and all of that. And then he rained curses on the governor. He rained curses on powerful people. And told people to begin to pray. He called the governor names, the Kaduna State governor, and said so many harsh things about him. So people were angry. Some people were angry. Some were happy. Some were saying, this is my man. I like this preacher. I took a neutral ground. I said, first, I was just talking with, I think it was my wife. I said, look, see, the man is angry. And you must understand, it can be painful if your friends have been killed. If relatives have been touched, it's very painful. But God said, the Bible tells us that no matter how much you cry against those people, he does not listen. Is it not painful? So I started praying that day. I said, in my heart, I felt so sorry that I don't believe, according to the scriptures I understand, that God is listening. Big church, hundreds, if not thousands in the congregation, hands joined, heads shaking, vibration all over the place, speaking in tongues, declaring the name of Jesus, calling fire down from heaven. But what I knew about the Lord Jesus, the scriptures I understand, I shook my head. I said, he is not listening. Don't bother. All the noise you are making is your flesh. You are angry. Anger is normal. But the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. I wasn't angry with them because I understood. I know how it will pain me. If I'm down here and you tell me back home, my hometown has been invaded, my mother has been killed. After preaching to you like this, I will do my own. Just to make my body feel happy. Father, kill them. Overtake, kill, scatter, destroy. In the back of my heart, I know he's not listening. But at least I have vented my anger. As I'm burying, I'll be telling everybody, so will their descendants go down. God is not listening. That's Christianity for you. You know what Christianity is like? God said, no strand of your hair falls down, except he knows about it. So what he expects is for you to come and say, Lord, where were you when not only the strand of our hair was falling down, our necks were falling down. Our hearts were coming out of our chest. What were you watching? That is why Elihu said, why don't they say, where is God my maker? Let me tell you how Israel used to reason. The nation of Israel. Who God taught the commands of God and how to react to things. They said, when Israel runs before our enemies, Israel will go and say, God, what happened? That your people have turned their backs against their enemies. They ran. When Israel lost the battle at Ai, only a few dozen of people, 30 some people were killed. Now, listen to this. Joshua made a tactical error. What was Joshua's tactical error? He said, go and spy the land. They came and said, they are lazy people. They are few in number. They are idle people there. We can easily take the land. So Joshua said, go with 3,000 people. We don't need to label everybody. Is that not a tactical error? I did my youth service in 3rd Mechanized Battalion, 30. And we interacted with the soldiers. And they told us that the normal rule of engagement in warfare, if you have to attack, you try and triple the number of your enemies. So if you find that there are about 10,000 soldiers, you try and go with 30,000. You try to overwhelm. Joshua didn't do that. So it is tactical error. So the people of Ai turned and walloped the Israelites, the soldiers, and killed 30-something, thereabout. I can't remember the figures correctly now. And when they came down to Joshua, you know what Joshua did? He bowed his head and cried to God and asked God what happened. He did not say, eh? Who was the commander? You boys are getting lazy. Those people are getting stronger. What is going on here? You are going to return this time around. You are going with 10,000 soldiers. No, he went and prayed. And God tapped him and said, come, stop praying. There is an accursed thing in your camp. when you went to Jericho, I told you, don't take anything. Joshua said, what? Who took? Then he began to search in the camp, and he found Achan. He found that Achan had taken things that were, Bible says, under the ban. Do you get the point? And then you know what happened? They destroyed Achan, destroyed the things, destroyed his tent, burnt everything, buried him, and then they returned to battle. This time around with 30,000 soldiers. But listen, like I always say, that 30,000 was just to give Israel confidence. It did not change their likelihood of winning. Now he had to return the soldiers. They said, no, let's not. Now he went with better strategies. Divided the soldiers into two groups. 15,000 attack, 15,000 hide. Then you will run. Once they start, responding. Once you start running, you will find them, pursuing you. When they've pursued you far enough, you block them in. Those who are hiding. You now sandwich them between 30,000 soldiers. You know it worked. But was that why they won? Why did they win? Go and see. The Bible says clearly, Joshua took his spear, his javelin, and pointed it at the city, and did not bring down his hand until he had totally consumed them. Victory was of the Lord. That was why Elihu said, no one says, where is God, my maker? Today we're in Benue State that has been in the center of the crisis in Nigeria. I think it's one of the, Benue ranks with Kaduna in popularity now. Oh, no, it's not popularity, it's called notoriety. When it comes to clashes, communal clashes. We have Benue, Kaduna, Plateau. Those are the main three. The other ones are Boko Haram, troubles in that axis, the northeast axis. Borno, Adamawa, and what's the third state? No, Yobe, thank you, yes, Yobe. Those three. But I'm happy this evening I'm in Makurdi. I'm in Benue. And I can say to you, churches respond wrongly. Christians respond wrongly. Yes, it feels funny when you're under attack. When you hear your relatives were slaughtered in their beds, in their homes, in villages. They can't go to their farms. They didn't do anything wrong as far as you are concerned. But anytime you shout against the invaders, God does not listen. Why does he not listen? I'll tell you. Because he says, you have not asked, where is God, my maker? This earth is not haphazard. Until God opened the door, you know, herdsmen were the ones that attacked Job. I hope you are aware. But they couldn't until God told Satan, go ahead. Has it crossed your mind? These problems are spiritual. These problems are spiritual. Those of us who are ministers understand something. You are God's doctors to inject treatment into the spiritual problems in the society by going around teaching Christians the truth. You can't be leading them in this warfare prayer. All our enemies die. They are not going to die. I have come to tell you, nobody's dying. If Joshua liked, let him increase the number of soldiers going to Ai to 50,000. As long as Achan had those things in the camp, they will keep on losing that battle. Let him come back, increase them to 100,000. God will send a wasting disease into the midst of her soldiers. They will get dead. They will not be able to fight. But when God blessed Israel under David, one man in Israel, we faced 300 Philistine soldiers. One man. It was not skill. It was a blessing. One man. We faced 300. You know what the Bible says? Defending a field of lentils, beans. Said nobody's coming near this field. 300 men died in the hands of one man. That by the time the man finished fighting, his hands went into spasm. They wanted to remove the sword. They couldn't. His hand clung to the sword. When you fought 300 men single-handedly, your hand will cling to the sword. It was a blessing. Men who pursued lions into pits. Say, lion, I warn you. Ah, okay. Lion begin and say, you're not going anywhere. Push lion to a pit on a day that everywhere was cold. Fought a lion and killed. Look, those are not human things. Listen, I hope you know Samson was not bigger than you. See that picture you see of Samson? Hulk Hogan. That's not Samson. The real Samson was like you and me. I'm bigger than Samson. No, I'm not joking. This guy. No. I'm not kidding. I think my size, I'm bigger than size Samson. Samson was just an average guy. He said, how do you know? Listen, they asked him, what is the secret of your strength? If it was all the muscles, will you be asking? When you see Arnold Schwarzenegger, do you ever ask him, what's the secret of your strength? You can see the secret of his strength. They used to ask Samson, what is the secret of your strength? Because he looked normal. Samson was a kind of person, he would jam you in the car, he jam your car in the traffic, you would come out and drag him out, not knowing that your life is just near the end. But when the anointing will come upon Samson, I'm going to say something here. The Bible says safety is of the Lord. So when safety is removed from a people, we should ask ourselves why. We see that every day. Been shouting and shouting and praying. God said, why don't you say, where is God my maker? Let me tell you what pastors in Benue State need to do to end the crisis. It's not political campaigning. It's crusades in the villages. Is going from house to house, village to village, and saying, this is the demand that Jesus, the judge of the living and the dead, is making of all of you. Repent and be baptized. Henceforth, no sexual immorality. Henceforth, no cheating, no stealing. Henceforth, repentance from all forms of evil. Don't even address what is going on else, that is the other physical things. Let me show you something. I said we're reading somewhere, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Quickly open to it. We're closing in a few minutes. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Listen, I understand when people are angry. When I see things like that, I get angry too. But I want to tell everybody, the gospel of Jesus is the solution to the problems of the nation. The true gospel of Jesus, when we walk with it, it solves headsman crisis. It solves corruption in the nation. It solves it. The problem is, like we read from that Isaiah chapter 2, people are not walking in the way of the Lord. What people want to do is to walk in their own ways and yet live securely. I don't know what I hear what I said. That's what we want. We want to walk in our own ways and live securely. And demand that President Buhari should provide security while we walk in our own ways. We demand that Vice President Oshibajo should lead economic reformation while we walk in our own ways. We demand that the roads must be good while we walk in our own ways. And listen to me, children of God, it will never happen. It will never happen. One of the passions of my heart these days is to let people know that this our merciful God is also a just God. He does not tolerate iniquity. He's long-suffering, he's patient, but eventually his patience runs out. People start reaping the rewards of their iniquity. And you and I can pollute a land until the land is polluted so much that it vomits up the inhabitants. And go and read your scriptures. There are a number of ways, about three or four of them, that God uses to vomit up people from the land. It's always, listen to this, number one, sword. Number two, pestilence. Number three, natural disasters. And number four, famine. Anytime people, God says, punish these people. Let the land vomit them. Those four things come upon them. Is sword, pestilence, as in wasting diseases, epidemics, Ebola, Lassa, smallpox of those days, plague, diarrhea and vomiting, attacking the children and adults, cholera, something like that. Number three is natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunami will hit, and you hear that 200,000 people died. And number four is farming, the land will become so dry. They will labor, they will get nothing. And there is no scientific knowledge that will stop it until God says, is enough. Sometimes if pestilence will take 70,000 people, and David will cry to God, have mercy. And God will say, offer a sacrifice and don't do that again. That's how it happens. When God wanted to wage war on behalf of Israel, of Judah, Assyrian came with hundreds of thousands of soldiers. One angel wiped 185,000 out in one night. And I reasoned, you know, because of my understanding of science, the world, and all of that. I said, why did that angel do it? And an idea came to my mind. I feel so certain that must have been what happened. A cold spell must have happened. Because I don't know any disease that kills 185,000 in one night. I checked the things that God had seen before, had used before. I said, it's cold. One angel just came. He blew freezing wind. All the men froze to death. By morning, they are thawed out. Are you getting my point? The bodies were melted. Israel came and saw 185,000 Assyrian soldiers dead. Anytime spiritual things want to occur on the earth, it uses natural methods. And that's why modern man says there's no God. Because they always have the natural explanation. They said tectonic plate shifted. The earthquake resulted in the center of the Pacific Ocean. And the water receded. And the water recoiled. And when it recoiled, it produced a tsunami that was 8 meters high and wiped out 250,000 people in one day. God says, that is how you explain the wrath of God. Why you did not ask yourself, why was the tectonic plate shifting? Did Isaac Newton not say every tectonic plate remains in the state of rest? Or uniform motion in a straight line, which cannot cause tsunami, until an external angel acting upon it. They say there's no God, we now understand diseases. I said, where did it come from? When Ebola came into Nigeria, you know what we did? We ran to church. Because we had heard the news of Ebola in the other West African countries. We thought about it. If it hits Nigeria, what will we do? Nobody, every man go to church. In every home, we begged. Because now we couldn't point to Jonathan that time. Jonathan called the man who brought it a madman. That would not send Ebola out. So all of us sat down in their homes and did what? We prayed. And God said to Ebola, back. Thus far and no further. And what was the manifestation? Fashola was on top of the situation, Lagos State Governor. The first manifestation, for your information, was that loose doctors were on strike when the man came to Nigeria. People don't realize that. You say, how was that a manifestation of God's mercy? I'll tell you. Because if they were not on strike, he would have gone to Luth. And when you go to Luth, contact tracing is more difficult. So he went to a private hospital, high end, where they could point to everybody that he contacted. And they traced, oh God, they traced every single person and quarantined them and cordoned them off. They didn't die after a few days. You know what CNN now said? I watched it. Nigeria was able to control it because it has a good existing health infrastructure. Did you hear that? The same Nigeria that they have abused how many times? I said, that's how it is when God has intervened. When God intervenes, a new head of state will come. We move down to Benue State. He will settle down, call the warring parties, do this, arrest some people. Imprison some people, pardon some people, pay some people. Then, phew, peace will return. You say, man, that man. Oh, they won't know it was a time to show her mercy. Let's read this so we can go home. We'll continue tomorrow. This is what used to happen in Israel, in Judah. Now, the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, you know, I'm reading from verse 1. Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him, And if you seek him, he will let you find him. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. Why did he say this? The Bible says, verse 3, for many days Israel was without a true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, notice this, they had distress. They turned to the Lord God of Israel and they sought him. And he let them find him. What was their problem? Verse 5. In those days, there was no peace to him that went to the farm. Are you seeing verse 5? In those days, there was no peace to him that went out or to him who came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation. Those were tribes of people. And city by city, those were communal conflicts within the same nation. For their head of state troubled them with every kind of distress. Read your Bible. What did he say? It was God who troubled them with every kind of distress. There was no peace for him that went out, no peace for him that came in. Traveling on the highway was dangerous. But the people, they didn't go to the head of state. You know where they went to? To God. And said, God, how have we neglected you? Then he showed them the way of repentance. For time's sake, we'll stop reading. For 35 years, there was peace. Is it that the nations around suddenly said they don't like trouble? No. For 35 years in the reign of Asa, there was peace. Why? Because they did that which was right before God. Talking about God of truth and wonders. People are asking God to do wonders. They don't understand that that's not the first thing he wants to do. The first thing he wants to do is to establish truth in the heart of people. That's why we have called for wonders and he has not done the wonders. That's why people who are speaking for him as if he does wonders, 90% are telling lies. That's why the wonders you now see, they are jokes. People don't even know how to fake wonders much anymore. It's stories they tell. All the way from Nigeria to Southern Africa. I watch them on TV. Word of knowledge is now a joke. I see you, I see you, I see you in a place. There's white. I see white everywhere. I see white. Am I seeing white? White. He said, yes, man of God. I work in a hospital. I say, yes, I see it. And I keep on waiting for where this word of knowledge is going. It's not going anywhere. It only goes to let you know that a man of God is a man of God. A fake man of God. Each time, just magnifying the ability to use familiar spirits to deceive people. I say, why have you not called this man to righteousness? If they deceive you like that, listen to me, eventually you will perish. Because unrighteousness destroys people. They give you false confidence that your ways are right. It's your neighbor that's the problem. And eventually, Asa will be destroyed. Israel will be destroyed. Everything that they put their hands to do will fail. Why? They did not reconcile themselves back to God in truth. Let me end it here. Does God work wonders? Yes, he does. But that's not where he starts from. He wants to heal families. But he said, men, you have to learn two basic principles. I feel strong that you tell men that. Two principles you will learn. It will heal your wife. It will heal your relationship, heal your children. Bring money into your home. So what are the two principles? So one, you will understand that every husband must be a man of one woman. God said, listen, I'm not going to change it for you. Men have said stupid things like, now only one soup, man, go they chop. God said, yes, eat that one soup. I gave Israel manna in the wilderness 40 years. When they grumbled, I punished them. And if I hear you think or say again that is the only one soup a man will chop, I will give you cancer of the male organ. Then you won't see any soup to eat again. You beg for soup, you won't see. Say, God, even if it's one, say, no, too late. Say, better eat that one soup with joy and gladness. Learn how to add all kinds of ngwangwam to the soup. Spice it up. Buy it cosmetics. Buy it jewelry because it's your only soup. Buy new clothes for your soup every day. Change her pot all the time. Today is damask, tomorrow is lace, tomorrow is just be changing because this is your only soup. Thus says the Lord. He says only deacons that God said. No. He said deacons are supposed to be examples. Have you ever heard of people this before? People say, you know, when people want to just do iniquity, they will look for a way to twist it. First, let's understand that scripture never said a husband of one wife. It's misinterpretation. Literal Hebrew, Greek says a man of one woman. He said a deacon must be an example. He said must not be given to wine. Does it mean the rest of the church be given to wine? When people say it's only deacon, so the rest of us can booze to death. Say, bro, what are you doing at the joint? Man, I'm on my seventh bottle. Are you a Christian? Are you not a Christian? I'm not a deacon. When he said a man of one woman, he wasn't saying husband of one wife. No. He said the man must not have a girlfriend. Having one wife is established. He wasn't discussing that. He was saying, oh boy, stop womanizing. First instruction, God says, before I heal anything in the home. Second instruction, say, you will learn how to love your wife. If I say this, you surprise some people. You know, when we break this, some of these rules, it's why we have bad road traffic accidents. Number one reason why we have road traffic accidents that cripple us and kill us is disobedience to the laws of God in other areas of life. God won't teach you how to drive. He will teach you how to love your wife, take care of your children, be responsible where you walk, then you'll be safe on the road. He's first of all the God of what? Truth. Before he's the God of wonders. Let's ask our feet to pray. We'll continue tomorrow.
Let's begin to pray. Thank God for the word that you have heard. Let's begin to thank God for the word that you have heard. And first of all, thank the Lord that now you realize that indeed is the God of truth. Say, Lord, I thank you because you are the God of truth. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. So say, Lord, I thank you that that is who you are. Then the second thing you need to do tonight is to repent. Say, Lord, I turn away. I turn away from every unrighteousness that I have been walking in. Every place where I've just thought of you, just as a God of wonder, I neglected your truth. Father, forgive me. Say, everywhere, Lord, that I've neglected your truth, that I've followed lies, that I've followed unrighteousness, that I've walked in iniquity, that I've walked in transgression, say, Father, forgive me. Say, Lord, cleanse me. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood make me whole. Say, I repent, Lord, of the wickedness in my heart. I repent, Lord, of my unrighteousness. I repent, Lord, of believing somebody is the source of my problem. Say, Lord, I repent for walking in unrighteousness, in untruth. Say, Lord, cleanse me. Make me whole. Every of your truth that I've rejected, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, make me whole. I repent, Father. Help me in the name of Jesus. Now begin to pray and say, Lord, help me to embrace your truth. Lord, help me to hold on to your truth. Say, Lord, help me to walk in your truth. From henceforth, Lord, help me to recognize you that indeed you are the God of truth. Lord, I follow you in truth. I follow your truth. I choose your truth. Say, Lord, I love your truth. Say, help me, Lord. Help me to love your truth. Help me to walk in your truth. Help me to embrace your truth. Help me to appreciate your truth. Help me to live according to the words of truth that you have sent to us. In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to walk in truth, to walk in righteousness, to recognize your word as the prime word in my life. Say, Lord, help me to place your word above all other and to live according to your instructions for my life. In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, send help to me. Lord, help me from within that I might walk in truth. You are the God of truth. God of truth, help me to be a person of truth, to be a child of truth, to be a son of truth. Lord, help me to walk in your truth, to live in your truth, to live by your truth. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because indeed your word is life. Father, we thank you because your word is life. We thank you, Lord, because you've given us strength and enablement indeed to walk again in righteousness. Blessed be your name, eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sure you were blessed today. Say, I'm sure you learned something new today. Say, walk in the righteousness of the word you have learned. Say, our God is a God of truth. With that, Maxine, let's rise up and share the grace. For those of us, if you open to this second to the last page, I think page 11 of that magazine, you see how we share the grace there. I want to thank the Lord that you came today. I'm sure the Lord has put something in your life. If that is so, say amen.
Amen.
And the work of God will never stop in your life.
Amen.
You will go from grace to grace, from strength to strength in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, let's take that declaration. One, two, go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and we walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is your season of, this is our season of, give two people, say, this is your season of multiplication and dominion. Your season of multiplication and dominion. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. And give one to yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.